Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm your reader, Grace Barter. Authorities are investigating a shooting that injured a man in Winthrop over the weekend. According to the Buchanan County Sheriff's Office, the man arrived at Buchanan County Health Center's emergency room in Independence with a gunshot wound to the abdomen around 9:05 a.m. on Saturday. The hospital was briefly placed on lockdown. He was transferred to University of Iowa hospitals and clinics in Iowa City for further treatment. His condition wasn't immediately available. Deputies said the shooting happened at a home in the 200 block of West 220th Street in Winthrop. Authorities said it appears to be an isolated incident and there is no threat to the public. The sheriff's office is being assisted in the investigation by the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. A man who received child pornography over the internet while in a residential facility for a prior child pornography charge pled guilty Friday in federal court in Cedar Rapids. Brady David Salo, age 27, from Vinton, was convicted of one count of receiving child pornography. In a plea agreement, Salo admitted he was convicted of four counts of possession of a depiction of a minor in a sex act in Dubuque County in 2019, as a condition of his sentence in that case in 2023, he was residing at a residential facility in Vinton. Per the rules of the facility, Salo was not permitted to have access to a phone or a computer. Beginning in the summer of 2023, however, Salo repeatedly persuaded an employee at the facility to loan him her cellular phone under the pretense that he was going to use it for either looking up photos of celebrities or to listen to music. By August 2023, Salo began receiving and downloading child pornography to the employee's phone without the employee's knowledge, saving downloaded images to a hidden folder on the phone. In October 2023, a fellow resident alerted staff that Salo had been using a phone, and the staff member turned over her phone for examination. A forensic examination of the phone revealed child pornography, and Salo admitted he had downloaded child pornography to the phone. Sentencing before the United States District Court Chief Judge C.J. Williams will be set after a pre-sentence report is prepared. Salo remains in custody of the United States Marshal pending sentencing. Salo faces a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 years imprisonment and a possible maximum sentence of 40 years imprisonment, a $250,000 fine, and lifetime term of supervised release following any imprisonment. The case was investigated by the FBI, the Benton County Sheriff's Office, the Johnson County Sheriff's Office, and is being prosecuted by Assistant United States Attorney Dan Chatham. A Waterloo man has been sentenced to probation for allegedly firing a shot into the air following an argument in 2022. Stephen Craig Shorter, 62, was sentenced to up to 10 years in prison, suspended to 2 to 5 years of probation on a charge of intimidation with a weapon on Thursday. Charges of assault with a weapon and use of a weapon in a crime were dismissed. Court records allege Shorter was involved in an argument with Lamont Rashawn Coleman on Conger Street around 4:25 p.m. on November 7, 2022. Shorter fired a single shot into the air and then picked up the shell casing and put it in his pickup truck's ashtray. Officers arriving at the scene stopped Shorter's vehicle and found the casing and a 9mm Beretta handgun. A Decorah man is behind bars after he allegedly pummeled his mother with a dumbbell and then barricaded himself in his home over the weekend. Decorah police arrested 27-year-old Daniel John Hamill for attempted murder following the standoff. Bond hasn't been set. According to court records, Hamill made statements that he wanted to kill his mother while striking her in the head with a dumbbell at their Bruning Drive home around 10:45 p.m. on Friday. The woman suffered a serious head injury and had other defensive wounds to an arm, records state. When police pulled up to the address, they found Hamill's vehicle parked outside, but he didn't come to the door or answer the phone. Police said he had access to firearms inside the house. An Iowa State Patrol negotiator attempted to contact Hamill, and authorities used additional tactical means to assist in establishing contact with the subject. He was detained without further incident, according to police. The Winnesee County Sheriff's Office and County 911 also assisted with the incident. One person was injured in an accidental shooting late Friday. According to police, the man was a passenger in a vehicle and accidentally shot himself in the leg around 9:30 p.m. on Friday. The driver took him to Unity Point Health Allen Hospital. He was treated for a gunshot wound to the left thigh. Police said the injuries don't appear to be life-threatening and no charges have been filed. Homeowners aged 65 or older are eligible for a property tax exemption worth $3,250 for the assessment year beginning January 1, 2023. In subsequent years, the exemption will double to $6,500. Exemptions are a reduction in the taxable value of the property, not a direct reduction of how much property taxes a homeowner pays, according to a news release from the City of Waterloo's Finance Department. On May 4, 2023, Governor Kim Reynolds signed House File 718, establishing this homestead tax exemption. The Iowa Department of Revenue has amended the homestead tax credit and exemption to allow claimants to apply for the new exemption. Applications are due July 1st to your local assessor. If granted, the exemption will be allowed for future years without future filing as long as the claimant continues to qualify. To apply for the tax exemption, download and fill out the tax-exempt form by following this link, tax.iowa.gov/forms/homestead tax credit and exemption 54028, or contact the Black Hawk County Assessor's Office. Authorities have reinstated charges against a Waterloo man who allegedly fired a shot at a house in 2022. Black Hawk County prosecutors had dropped state intimidation charges against Marshall Ray Polk after federal authorities filed firearm charges in the shooting. On April 11th, Polk, 20, was sentenced to up to 2 years in prison, which was on the low end of advisory sentencing guidelines, on a charge of drug user in possession of a firearm in U.S. District Court on Cedar Rapids. On April 23rd, Black Hawk prosecutors refiled charges of intimidation, going armed, assault, and carrying weapons. Bond was set at $50,000. Court records allege Polk fired a single shot at his girlfriend's home on Logan Avenue from a vehicle driven by his grandmother on October 16, 2022. When police initiated a traffic stop, Polk darted from the vehicle and was detained a short time later. Police found a discarded 9mm Taurus G2C handgun in the area. Engineers have for years considered solutions for one of the area's most dangerous intersections at Iowa 58 and Green Hill Road. On Thursday, plans for an interchange at what is now a signalized four-way intersection were confirmed. The Iowa Department of Transportation, AECOM, and Cedar Falls Engineering Division revealed the proposal at the Public Works Building. It will be similar to previous projects along the highway dating back to 1985. The highway will go under an elevated Green Hill Road and resemble the tunnel at the Viking Road interchange, where the thoroughfare also goes over the top. The exits would lead to a dog bone roundabout with dual lanes and a configuration similar to University Avenue. The area from Green Hill Road to US 20 was the subject of a 2015 study. The goal was creating a safer, more efficient, and quieter corridor for the thousands of vehicles passing through each day. Depending on available funding, construction could begin in 2028 and last 2 to 3 years. Green Hill Road would be closed for part of the construction and detours would be offered. Traffic would be maintained on Highway 58. The project will cost an estimated $61 million, with the state covering a majority and the city a smaller share. Engineers say other plans were considered, but the chosen design is safer, more efficient, and eliminates the cost of signal maintenance. They looked at options, including a layout with traffic signals similar to the Viking Road interchange and variations with Green Hill Road traffic traveling under Highway 58. The agencies are still in the preliminary design phase. Feedback and questions are being accepted online at bit.ly/IowaCom5886 until May 8th. The interchange would begin south of the Mayor's Pedestrian Bridge near where the Viking Road interchange improvements wrapped up a few years ago and end adjacent to the Falls Aquatic Center on South Main Street. A third auxiliary lane will be added for those traveling on the two lanes of highway traffic to the exits. Improvements on Green Hill Road will extend between Ashworth Drive and South Main Street. Noise barriers will be erected in some areas of the project. The few dozen people at the Public Works Building on Thursday talking with engineers and learning about the project seemed pleased, especially those in the El Dorado Heights neighborhood. It will be a natural abatement to noise, lend environmental aesthetics, and better streamline traffic flow, said Stephen Ephraim. He's been offering input for almost a decade and credited the professionals with taking it into account. A different design may have divided the communities, he said. He also pointed out the preservation of Cedar Prairie Trail, El Dorado Heights Park, and natural habitats. The residential program at Bremwood in Waverly, run by Lutheran Services in Iowa, is closing, effective May 15th. The announcement was made public earlier this month. The facility housing children who require individualized care is closing, leaving a handful of young women and nearly 50 employees in a state of upheaval. The Bremwood Residential Treatment Center, formerly Lutheran Children's Home, was founded 160 years ago in 1864. LSI took over in 2003. The remaining 8 teenage girls will be transferred to other similar facilities across the state. Neither LSI nor the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services provided information on where the children could go or where the closest similar facility is. The 45 counselors, management, and administrative positions will be transferred within the LSI system or be assisted by the organization to find other employment. A representative from LSI stated in an email that they are meeting with each employee and offering retention bonuses for the next 30 days. A news release from LSI stated that the closure was a collaborative decision with the Department of Health and Human Services. After several discussions and careful deliberations with officials at the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, and in recognizing there are other providers more fully equipped to provide the high level of care required for these youth, LSI has determined that they will transition out of residential services programming, the release said. The organization also stated the change will allow LSI to fully focus on and elevate the agency's core services, including early childhood education, disability services, mental health programs, adoption and foster care, and immigrant and refugee services. A spokesperson from the HHS said the agency had made the decision to discontinue its contract with LSI to provide qualified residential treatment programs and shelter services. The safety of the youth who are currently in the facility is the top priority for Iowa HHS and LSI, the spokesperson said. There was no response to a request for answers to follow-up questions. Neither organization responded as to how long this decision has been discussed. The Bremwood facility is LSI's only 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week residential treatment program. It provides mental health services to children with severe emotional or behavioral disorders. It is important to note that Bremwood campus is not closing, Renee Hardman, LSI president and CEO, said in the release. LSI will still have employees at Bremwood and will continue to provide other critical services for youth and family. The young women in the residential facilities participate in individual therapy sessions, group sessions with other youth and staff, and therapy sessions with family members. The residential communities allow for the teens to live together to learn skills like communication and conflict resolution. There are 4 residential buildings, also known as cottages, on the campus. LSI will evaluate potential uses for these buildings and identify opportunities that will best benefit the Waverly community. LSI recently announced it will expand immigrant and refugee services in the Cedar Valley, which includes refugee resettlement services. The organization welcomed 250 refugees to the community between 2000 and 2012. Other services for refugees and immigrants will include a child care business development program, safe release services for sponsors of unaccompanied children, and case management services for Ukrainians, Haitians, and other populations who have recently arrived. LSI will be the only resettlement agency in the area. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig announced the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship will invest in 14 urban water quality projects across the state, utilizing funding from the state's Water Quality Initiative and other sources. The department will provide cost share grants that cover up to 50% of the total cost of each project. The department is investing nearly $3.6 million, which will leverage an overall investment of approximately $10 million across the 14 projects. Funding will go toward 3 projects in the Cedar Valley. Over the past decade, the department invested in more than 120 urban water quality projects. The department provides financial and technical assistance to the communities and organizations implementing these urban water quality practices. To receive state funding, the urban water quality projects must include education and outreach components and involve local partners. The urban conservation projects include water quality practices like bioretention cells, bioswales, native plantings, permeable pavers, rain gardens, soil quality restoration, and wetlands. The City of Hudson will receive $190,900 for a wetland park restoration project. The city will restore an oxbow wetland and create two storm water wetlands within the Black Hawk Creek watershed, adjacent to a new urban development. The practices improve water quality, reduce localized flooding, and create beneficial wildlife habitat. The City of Jessup will receive $175,000 for a storm water wetland. The city's wastewater treatment plant was recently updated, which included taking one settling basin offline. The depressed area of approximately 2 acres is an ideal location for constructing a stormwater wetland to treat a 33-acre drainage area. The wetland will be able to manage small and large storm events due to the size of the current basin. The project will directly improve the water quality of the adjacent tributary and water quality downstream, including the Cedar River. The City of Waterloo will receive $400,000 for the Sunnyside Creek Watershed Water Quality Wet Pond. The city will construct a 14-acre wet pond and an adjoining wetland within the Sunnyside Creek Watershed connected to Black Hawk Creek and the Cedar River. The project will treat runoff from 375 acres of agricultural land and a future development area. The pond will use a multi-stage outlet to control the flow from various storm events. House of Hope received a $500,000 grant for its Empowerment Center in the latest round of donations announced by the Black Hawk County Gaming Association. The BHCGA Board of Directors met April 15th to finalize awards for the fiscal year 2024 spring grant cycle. A total of 11 projects were approved for funding, totaling $677,500. Among the projects awarded were 4 capacity building grants that range from website development, strategic planning, and new data systems. Introducing capacity building to our grant categories was an exciting development for Black Hawk County Gaming Association, said Alice Sherry, Board President. Board members evaluate and rank proposals according to public guidelines, impact, and community need in every grant cycle. Each of the chosen projects supports the growth of local communities. The following projects received funding: House of Hope Empowerment Center, $500,000, Operation Threshold Data System Update, $30,000, Embracing Exploration Black Excellence Leadership Academy and HBCU Tour, $25,000, City of Dysart Public Works Maintenance Shop, $25,000, City of Winthrop Community Park Shelter, $25,000, the Job Foundation Strengthening Development Process, $15,000, Tri-Pi Bakery Learning Space Expansion, $15,000, Union Community School District Dysart Elementary School Playground, $15,000, City of Fredericksburg Outdoor Pickle Courts, $10,000, Plum Creek Art Center Art Gallery Facade, $10,000, Waterloo Community Schools Foundation 5-Year Strategic Planning, $7,500. A Junior Achievement of Eastern Iowa has received $92,000 from the Wells Fargo Foundation to support local youth financial literacy programs. The grant will support hands-on learning programs that teach students foundational money management skills like earning, saving, budgeting, spending wisely, and investing. In addition, through the grant funds, the foundation will sponsor the organization's capstone program, J.A. BizTown Mobile. Launched in spring 2023, J.A. BizTown Mobile provides school districts access to an immersive financial literacy and work and career readiness educational program that allows students to learn about the circular flow of the economy by assuming roles in businesses found in a simulated pop-up mobile economy. Junior Achievement of Eastern Iowa is the first of the organization's more than 100 offices throughout the United States to offer J.A. BizTown in a mobile format that brings the mobile city infrastructure to local schools to reduce barriers of transportation. More than 1,600 Eastern Iowa students in grades 5th and 6th have participated in a J.A. BizTown Mobile since its launch. In addition to its most recent grant, Wells Fargo joined MidAmerican Energy to fund the creation of J.A. BizTown Mobile last year. J.A. BizTown is an immersive learning experience that gives students the opportunity to learn by doing instead of just listening. Katie Langer, Experiential Learning Director for Junior Achievement of Eastern Iowa, said in a news release, during J.A. BizTown, students can take their classroom learning into a controlled environment where they can make mistakes, learn, and interact with volunteers to see how their first day on the job is relatable to real-world experiences they may have in years to come. Langer said the mobile version of the program has made it accessible to all students within our footprint, and it allows us to pull from different volunteer pools that truly reflect the students in each of our areas. It is important that we are demonstrating to future generations early and often the importance of the circular flow of the economy and that we are preparing them for the world of work that they will enter. Junior Achievement of Eastern Iowa works in 15 counties, including Blackhawk and surrounding counties. A University of Northern Iowa student is among the winners in the 2024 John Papa John Student Entrepreneurial Venture Competition. The competition was held April 22nd at the University of Iowa Papa John Education and Events Center in Des Moines. The final presentation round consisted of 17 students presenting 15 business ideas to a panel of judges. Judy Isles, director of the Iowa State University John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center, said in a news release, the competition brings student entrepreneurs together from across the state. They enjoy the opportunity to connect and support each other. To make it to the finals of this competition is a great achievement for these young entrepreneurs. Student entrepreneurs entering the competition came from Drake University, Iowa State University, North Iowa Area Community College, the University of Iowa, and the University of Northern Iowa. The following three businesses emerged as winners of this year's competition, with each winning venture receiving $5,000. Davin Crooker, founder of DC Outdoor Sports, University of Northern Iowa. DC Outdoor Services is a landscaping construction company whose mission is to provide high-quality landscaping services with the utmost integrity. It offers patio installations, retaining wall installations, and general landscaping. It is equipped to do projects of any size. Catherine Dow, founder of Instastat, North Iowa Area Community College. Instastat revolutionizes the tattoo industry with a user-friendly platform for semi-permanent tattoos. Using advanced AI technology and premium materials like GPE, it creates vibrant, long-lasting designs without the lifelong commitment of traditional tattoos. This blend of AI and premium ingredients enables easy customization, empowering individuals to express their authentic identities effortlessly. Joy Clark, founder of Regain Orthotics, Drake University. Regain Orthotics offers low-cost functional prosthetics for above-elbow limb loss. The ARM device is sold as a kit, enabling on-site fabrication without a skilled prostheticist. Users can customize, maintain, and repair it with common materials. At less than 1% of the cost of conventional prosthetics, its practical design makes it accessible worldwide, from war-torn Gaza to U.S. trauma centers. The competition is a collaborative effort among the Iowa Papa John Entrepreneurial Centers located at Drake University, Iowa State University, North Iowa Area Community College, the University of Iowa, and the University of Northern Iowa. You are listening to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now, let's turn to today's obituaries. Norbert Philip Delagardel, 89, of Jessup and formerly of Dunkerton, died Friday, April 26th at the Unity Point Allen Memorial Hospital in Waterloo. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 3rd at St. Athanasius Catholic Church in Jessup, with burial at St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Gilbertville. Visitation will be from 3:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd at the White Funeral Home in Jessup, where there will be a Catholic Order of Foresters Rosary at 3:30 p.m. Visitation will continue for an hour before services Friday at the church. Memorials may be directed to the family or a charity of the donor's choice. Norbert was born September 26, 1934, in Waterloo. On November 9, 1954, he was united in marriage to Mary Jane Gersh in Gilbertville. Norbert and Mary farmed north of Dunkerton, where they raised two sons. They moved off the farm 10 years ago to Jessup, where he remained a resident until his passing. His most recent home was at Winding Creek Meadows in Jessup. Patricia Pat Delagardel, 92, of Waterloo, died Sunday, April 28th, at Wellspring Friendship Village. Mass of Christian burial will be 10 a.m. Thursday, May 2nd, at St. Edward Catholic Church, with burial at Mount Olivet Cemetery. A rosary will take place at 3:45 p.m. on Wednesday, May 1st, at Haggerty Wyckoff Grara Funeral Service on West Ridgeway, where visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. with a 6:30 p.m. vigil service. Visitation also 1 hour prior to the Mass on Thursday at the church. The casket will be closed for the visitation at the church on Thursday. Robert Bob J. Brown, 93, of Janesville, formerly of Cedar Falls, went home to be with the Lord on Wednesday, April 24th. Bob married Judith Judy Schmidt on June 10, 1962, and were married for 55 wonderful years. Bob honorably served two terms in the United States Navy during the Korean War. His work resume was extensive, including Palace Clothiers, Equitable Life Assurance Society of the U.S., Baker and Brown Insurance Agency, Geist Brown Geist Insurance Agency for over 30 years, the Waterloo Chamber of Commerce, Norwest Bank, and Hogan Hansen CPA firm. He concluded his career as his own boss, detailing and washing cars for over 18 years. Bob was an active member of Orchard Hill Church in Cedar Falls and was previously a member of Westminster Presbyterian Church and Cedar Valley Community Church. Bob always had a love for the well-being of the Cedar Valley and was involved in civic organizations too numerous to mention. He also won several awards for his involvement in the community. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, May 1st at Orchard Hill Church in Cedar Falls. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 30th at Locke at Tower Park. Military rights by American Legion Becker Chapman Post 138 and U.S. Navy Funeral Honors Detail. The Robert J. and Judith E. Brown Charitable Trust, care of the Community Foundation of Northeast Iowa or the Western Home Foundation, is where you can send a memorial. Stephen John Rogers, 60, of Cedar Falls, died on Thursday, April 25th at the Cedar Valley Hospice Home. He was born on April 22nd, 1964 in Cedar Rapids. He was a 1982 graduate of Clarion High School and worked several custodial jobs. Private family interment is at Fairview Cemetery in Cedar Falls at a later date. Memorials may be directed to the family. Gerald James Meyer, 81, of Applington, died Friday, April 26th. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, May 1st at the First Reformed Church in Applington. Visitation will be 1 hour before the service at the church. Janet Cavan, 72, of Waterloo, died August 27th. Graveside services will be May 6th at 1:30 p.m. at Cedar Valley Memorial Garden. Gary Bergman, 67, of Parkersburg, passed away April 25th. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 30th at Redmond Funeral and Cremation Services in Parkersburg. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. And in local sports news, momentum can be a fickle beast to tame. The Cedar Falls Tigers ran afoul of it. Following an individual title by sophomore Jaden Merrick in the 3,200-meter race on Thursday and a fifth-place finish from Tyler Kenninga in the 110-meter hurdles, momentum started sliding against the Tigers. Cedar Falls suffered three disqualifications in a pair of relays and one individual event on the second day of the Drake Relays High School competition on Friday. However, the Tigers did not let the string of bad luck slow them down as they tried to finish off the 114th Drake Relays. On Saturday, the Tigers' shuttle hurdle relay team of Jarrett Keyes, Max Mills, Reese Thola, and Kenninga started to turn the tide of momentum back in favor of the Tigers with the fastest qualifying times in the boys' 4x110 shuttle hurdles relay. The Tigers' 58.76 seconds preliminary time also represented a school record for the Tigers. The historic performance did not surprise them. The Tigers' confidence comes from an off-season of hard work. For Mills and Keyes, a trip to the Drake Relays and a spot on a title-winning relay represented a dream to strive for. The Drake relays served as the igniting event for Keyes. He watched the relays from the stands as the Tigers attempted, but failed, to win the shuttle hurdles competition in the 113th Drake relays in 2023. Their confidence, born out of hard work, allowed the Tigers to return 4 hours after breaking the school record and crush it. Cedar Falls ran a 57.89 seconds to win the 114th Drake Relays title and reserve the Tigers' negative momentum. The quartet of Tigers reveled in the win only briefly before asking for a fifth Drake Relays flag. The Tigers shuffled their lineup before the finals, swapping Thola for Jackson Schreiber. It seemed fitting to the Tigers that Thola get a flag alongside his teammates. Kenninga also added that the Tigers are back in the good graces of momentum. The Cedar Falls boys rallied to finish the Drake relays with a 4x400-meter relay win on Saturday night after an extended rain delay. The Tigers' relay squad of Hunter Russell, Jackson Schreiber, Keegan Stege, and Jordan Townsend clocked a time of 3 minutes, 16.74 seconds to win the race by 0.39 seconds over South Hamilton. The time was just 0.07 seconds off of Cedar Falls Drake Relay's record of 3 minutes, 16.67 seconds set in 2021. Townsend clocked a 48.38 second in the open 400 on Friday night before ultimately being disqualified, just 0.08 seconds off his personal best time this season. The junior said he felt pleased with his performance following the race, despite competing in an individual event for the first time at the Drake Relays. When Cadence Huck burst onto the scene, the Nashua Plainfield girls track star did things a little differently. Huck did not use starting blocks, opting for a standing start. She also chewed a stick of peppermint extra gum, wore the same socks, styled her hair the same way, a Dutch braid down to space buns, and honed a distance girl mentality. A freshman in 2022, Huck's unique habits helped her power the Huskies to their first Class 1A team title with an individual win in the 400-meter dash and as the anchors of Huskies sprint medley and 4x400-meter relays. As a sophomore in 2023, Huck sought to retire her superstitions, except for her signature space buns. The decision did not cost her success, as Huck claimed a second consecutive 400 title and added an 800-meter crown. Now a junior, Huck continues to lead the Huskies on the track, qualifying for the Drake Relays in the 400 and 800. She also served as the anchor leg of the Nashua Plainfield Sprint Medley Relay, which became the first relay team in the program's history to qualify for the Drake Relays. The effort to retire her superstitions remains a work in progress. She also added that, given her consistent dominance, measuring success can be difficult as she continues to add historic feats to her ledger. Huck said she chewed a stick of gum during the sprint medley relay on Friday morning. Following a rough outing, resulting in a DQ for the Huskies, Huck decidedly chose not to chew gum during her next two races, the open 400 and 800-meter races. The junior took third in the 800-meter race with a time of 2 minutes, 11.89 seconds, less than 2 seconds behind the winning time of 2 minutes, 9.31 seconds. Then she took third in the 400-meter race with a time of 56.19 seconds, finishing a spot higher than her showing in 2023 and over a second faster. The New Orleans Saints selected Northern Iowa defenseman lineman Christian Boyd in the sixth round of the NFL draft on Saturday. The Saints chose the hulking prospect with the 199th pick in the draft. An All-Missouri Valley Football Conference honoree in 2023, Boyd appeared in 49 games during his career at UNI, racking up 149 total tackles and 22.5 tackles for loss. Boyd managed his most productive season in 2023 with 43 total tackles, including 17 solo tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks as a sixth-year senior. Boyd rocketed up draft boards following the 2023 season, earning Defensive Practice Player of the Week honors at the East-West Shrine Bowl in February and putting up 38 reps on the bench press during UNI's Pro Day. Boyd is the seventh Panther selected in the NFL draft since 2014. UNI ranks second to North Dakota State in selections since 2014. Boyd is the sixth player drafted by New Orleans in the 2024 draft. The Saints selected Oregon State offensive tackle Talese Fuague in the first round, 14th overall, and Alabama cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry, 41st overall, in the second round. The National Wrestling Coaches Association announced its 2024 Division III Hall of Fame inductees, with former Wartburg wrestler Byron Tate selected as one of seven honorees. He becomes the 12th inductee from Wartburg's program. Tate, a three-time national champion, left an impressive legacy at Wartburg College, where he had an outstanding career record of 141-14. He notched 44 falls, 22 major decisions, and 4 tech falls. Playing a pivotal role in Wartburg's wrestling dominance, Tate helped snag back-to-back NCAA championship titles in 2011 and 2012. His stellar performance in 2012 earned him the coveted title of D3Wrestle.com Wrestler of the Year. Armed with gloves, grabbers, and garbage bags, volunteers set out early Saturday morning as part of the Cedar Valley Trails Partnership's annual trail cleanup. 20 members of the Cedar Valley Cyclists group gathered in a bank parking lot to get instructions and supplies before heading out to pick up trash along the Sargent Road Trail that runs from Commercial Street and River Road in Waterloo to downtown Hudson. Members Kirby Baumgard and Jackie Wagner organized the event for the group, which has been cleaning the Sargent Road Trail each year for at least 20 years, Baumgard said. Before noon, the cyclists had gathered 40 large bags of garbage, which were brought back to the meeting place and left to be picked up by the City of Waterloo Public Works Sanitation Department. After the cleanup, the group headed to the other place, which is one of the group's sponsors. There, prizes, medals made from recycled bike parts, were given out for the most unusual items found on the trails. Nominees included a Michael Jackson CD, a deer skull, and a foam head complete with a cap. Roger White is the volunteer coordinator for the Cedar Valley Trails Partnership. He spent the better part of Sunday gathering information on Saturday's effort. I am monitoring 41 different groups, from individuals to groups as large as 20, he said. With more groups to report, the number of bags of garbage collected neared 200. There was a lot of plastic, fast food containers, and a lot of cans and bottles that should be going into recycling, he said. White was glad for the cyclists' help. The Cedar Valley Trails Partnership oversees more than 130 miles of trails. While some segments didn't get covered Saturday, the cleanup will go on for a few more weeks. It will continue until at least the middle of May, White said. The cleanup event, which drew about 150 volunteers this year, is tied to Earth Day, and Saturday was National Celebrate Trails Day. Downtown Waterloo will be all shook up when Elvis tribute artists visit town to perform at Blue Suede Memories 12. Iowa's largest Elvis tribute artist competition is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Waterloo Convention Center. Between 6 and 10 tribute artists are expected to compete for their share of $5,000 in prize money and titles, along with bragging rights as the fan favorite. 3 competitions are planned. On Friday, doors open for the first semifinals at 6 p.m., with the show starting at 7 p.m. On Saturday, the second semifinals begin at 2 p.m. Doors will open at 1. The finals will take place Saturday night, with doors opening at 6 p.m., followed by the show at 7. All performances are at the Waterloo Convention Center. This is our 12th year for the Elvis competition. People travel here from all over the United States to see these performers and enjoy the entertainment. It's Iowa's biggest Elvis competition and has a big economic impact on Waterloo, with people staying in hotels, eating in restaurants, and shopping, said Donna Bolker, who is co-producing the event with Buzz Anderson. The MC will be Summer Dawn. The headliner is Quentin Flagg, who is known for his Elvis tributes and 1950s and 60s rock and roll shows. He has performed throughout North America and abroad and has been featured on TV and radio shows. Change of Habit, a band officially recognized by Graceland, will perform and accompany special guests and contestants. Featured competitors are expected to include Bobby Allen of Branson, Missouri, returning champion of Blue Suede Memories 11. Joining Allen will be Junior Talley, an Elvis tribute artist from Fort Madison, Nathan Pittorf of Buffalo, New York, an award-winning Elvis tribute artist, and Emerson Frakes, a 10-year-old tribute artist who will be attending his 4th competition. Tickets, including reserve tables, are on sale in advance by calling 563-581-5093. A limited number of reserve tickets are available. Gold level packages are $50 and platinum packages are $60. General admission tickets are $40 at the door. Vendors will sell a variety of goods at the shows, including Elvis memorabilia. After parties are planned Friday and Saturday nights at Ari's in the Best Western Plus in downtown Waterloo. They are open to the public. New this year is an Afternoon of Memories, Friday at the Convention Center. Doors open at noon and the show begins at 12:30 p.m. Flagg will perform classic rock and roll, and Pittorf will perform his Blood Buddy Holly tribute. Frakes will be a special guest. Tickets are $15, available at the door. We know there are people who don't drive at night or want to be out at night, so we wanted to offer something during daylight hours to give them a chance to experience this music, Boulder said. On Sunday, the annual gospel show will be hosted at Ari's in the Best Western Plus. Doors open at 10:30, followed by the show at 11 a.m. Tickets are $15. The fan favorite chosen at the competition will be featured at the Dinner with the King event in October at the Majestic Moon Party and Event Center in Waterloo. A plaque honoring April Wilson was unveiled at noon today at the Bremer County DMV, located at 415 East Bremer Avenue, Suite 1 in Waverly. Wilson donated part of her liver to save her mom's life in 2019. Now, Iowa Donor Network, the Iowa Department of Transportation, and the Bremer County Treasurer's Office are teaming up to share Wilson's story on a permanent tribute plaque at the Bremer County DMV in hopes of inspiring others to become organ, eye, and tissue donors. This marks the 19th DMV tribute plaque the Iowa DOT has installed in Iowa since 2020. Each plaque honors a deceased donor, living donor, or recipient from the community in which the plaque is installed. More than 1.6 million Iowans are registered to be organ, eye, and tissue donors, and 97% have registered when getting a driver's license. There are more than 103,000 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant in the U.S., including 663 in Iowa. Iowans can register to save lives at their local driver's license station or online anytime at iowadonornetwork.org. That does it for today's reading. On the last day of April, Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, I'm your reader, Grace Barter. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.